Well, it's pretty tiny, but I want you to know that I often wear a peace pin. I'm not a great one for a lot of jewelry, but I very much value my peace pin. I value it because I profess to follow in the footsteps of the person that we hail as the Prince of Peace. I think a lot of us really enjoy, especially coming here in the seasons of Advent and Christmas, when we sing familiar carols and talk about peace on earth and celebrate hope and peace and joy and love and celebrate with the angels the coming of the gentle child in a manger. We celebrate that baby and all that that baby means to us on into the new year, and perhaps we hold on to that for too long because we have to remember that that gentle baby in a manger grew to be a man and came to tell us just what it means to love. In God's context, what it means to love. Last week, if you were here, Lyle talked with us about God's mercy, God's gift to us of grace and compassion and love and generosity and forgiveness, and how that gives us resilience for living. It supports us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, so that we are able to go out into the world and be the people of God. And it's that quality of mercy that gives us the grace, compassion, love, forgiveness, and generosity that comes from God. But along with that quality of mercy, Jesus brought us awareness of something else. And today I'd like to look at that other quality that Jesus brought, that other peace that was part of Jesus. For Jesus came to make it perfectly clear in that society and in all societies that all are worthy, valued, treasured by God. Not just a chosen few, not just the chosen race. All were valued. The poor, the forgotten, those who mourn, the meek, those who have nothing, who are ill, who are physically or mentally challenged. Jesus came to make sure that everybody was worthy of respect. And he came to make it clear that that is God's will. That is what God's kind of love is about. Honoring, respecting, valuing, and treasuring every single one of God's creation. It wasn't an easy message. It wasn't the message of healing and blessing little children that drew the crowds around Jesus and made him popular, made him sought out by the crowds. Now, this was a difficult message. This was a hard message, but Jesus made sure that this message was paid attention to. It made Jesus a rebel, a lawbreaker, a radical, an outlaw, because Jesus broke the laws. It's very clearly expressed in the scriptures that it was against the law to work on the Sabbath. But did Jesus not heal the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath? Did Jesus not heal the crippled woman on the Sabbath? It was law. It was part of society to shun the leper and the physically and mentally disabled. You didn't go near them. You didn't want to have anything to do with them. Obviously, God's wrath had fallen upon them to make them like this. No. Jesus reached out to the lepers and healed them. Jesus reached out to the physically and mentally challenged and healed and helped and accepted them. Jesus reached out to... Where's his name gone? Zacchaeus. Thank you, Wendy. I love to have a prompt in the audience. All good theatrical people need a prompt. Zacchaeus was hiding up in a tree. He's a tax collector. He works for the oppressor. He probably collects significantly more taxes than he should be. Jesus calls him down out of the tree, asks him to come and share a meal with him. Jesus welcomes everyone into his presence. And then there's the Good Samaritan story, the parable that I'm sure we all know, where Jesus tells us, reminds us, because it's, of course, a law of Scripture, to love your neighbor. And Jesus isn't talking about the neighbor that lives next door to you, whose house is pretty similar, who keeps their garden well. But that's not the neighbor that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the stranger, the foreigner, the one you're a little suspicious of, the one you know nothing about and probably don't want to know about. Jesus says, no, that is your neighbor. That is the one you welcome. Now, Jesus didn't win popularity contests for this kind of talk. Jesus, in the scriptures that Wendy read us this morning, says, I have come to set fires. I have come not to bring peace, but to bring conflict, to bring division, because the status quo, the way society is set up, is not the way God intends. And who is it up to change things? We are called to set fires. We are called to live in tension. Jesus was passionate. Passion is something we need to talk about. Passion is something that carried Jesus through the difficult times, the difficult lessons that he had to teach. Passion is what lifts you. This week, there was a little lesson in the news by Serge Ibaka. He's a member of the Raptors team, you might remember from last spring, that took it all the way to the top and won the NBA championship. And Serge Ibaka is a player on that team who went home last week to Brazzaville in the Republic of Congo. And he went into a restaurant with friends and family and sat down to enjoy a meal in the restaurant where, as a young teen, he sat outside and begged for food. Ibaka was the third youngest of a family of 18. His mother died when he was 7. His father was thrown into jail as a political prisoner during the Second Congolese War. There was often no food in Serge Ibaka's life. And so he developed a passion. And he took that passion all the way to where he is today. And he said, he tweeted out from that restaurant, "Sometimes life is like a movie, and this script is written by God alone." God leads Serge Ibaka in how he acts. And he said, "This wouldn't be worth it. I wouldn't come home if I weren't here to inspire new generations of Congolese kids to know that anything is possible. Anything is possible with God if you have the passion." And that's what passion does. Passion carries you places. Passion carries this congregation, this church at Grace, to go to Honduras once a year, to build, to be with the kids there, to show God's love in another place. Passion is with those volunteers who come to serve at the Ministry of Compassion and at the One Roof Diner. Passion is what helps us serve. It's what strengthens us in all that we need to do. We embrace passion. We need to be passionate. And Christ was passionate. Now I go back to my peace pin, and I find this little saying, and it says that if we know Jesus, we will know peace. But didn't Wendy read to us that Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace? And I get it that if we read just the yellow and we don't know Jesus, then there will be no peace. But then I read it a third time and I see know Jesus, follow Jesus, and have no peace. Have no peace, as Jesus said, because we can't rest. We can't just let things drift over us. We have got to answer the call and take a stand. We can feel inner peace, but outwardly, there is conflict in our lives. If we are to be Christ's disciples, there is conflict. We have to take a stand. G.K. Chesterton was a British writer, philosopher, lay theologian, critic, poet, a brilliant man, active in the first third of the 20th century. Very interesting person. And he wrote, "Tolerance is the easy virtue of people who do not believe anything." If you have no principles that you stand by, then you can tolerate anyone. You can tolerate anything going on in society. Jesus doesn't say that that's the way we should act. Tolerance leads to ineffectualism. Herod was tolerant. He said to the people, "I see no fault in this man, but you do whatever you like. You take it from here." Herod didn't take a stand, and he saw where that got them. Nicodemus went to Jesus to ask questions because he knew that he recognized that Jesus had been sent by God. What he got for his trouble was a lecture on commitment, on how you need to be committed to what you believe. But Jesus said, "Those who are not with me are against me." Jesus said, "We are expected to take a stand." It's no good being beige, people. We are not called to nod and smile when we hear or see things that are unjust, that are persecuting other people, that can't defend themselves. We are not called to be nice. It's not going to work to just be nice and expect the world to suddenly blossom into niceness too. We have to speak up. We have to stand up for justice. And to stand up for justice means standing against injustice. It's how Jesus called us to be. Now, it means we have to make some difficult decisions. And Wendy read for us how this creates tensions. It can create tensions right within families. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and she gets into everything, as they do. And she was in my room the other day going through drawers and boxes, and she came up with this. She said, "Grammy, what's this?" You probably can't see it, all of you, but, and some of you may not even remember them, because I think it's probably about 20 years old, and it looks like brand new, and it's a WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? Any of you have any of those stashed away in a drawer? Why don't I wear this? Why does it look like new when it's 20 years old? I don't look like I did when 20 years ago. Is it because I don't want to offend my non-church-going children? Is it because I don't want to upset friends and family by what I believe, by outwardly showing what I'm thinking about? I think it's time I committed. I think it's time I put this bracelet back on and wore it and remembered, what would Jesus do in every situation that I bump into in a day? This story was in the news this week too. This is a story about two fishermen in Sicily, Carlo and his father Gaspari. I won't attempt the last name. My Italian is not up to it, but they have been fishing from Sicily for generations. And Carlo was out in his fishing boat at night last week, and he heard cries for help. So he trained the lights of his boat over towards the cries for help, and there were 50 migrants jammed onto a dinghy, and the dinghy was taking on water, and they were crying out for help. And Carlo went right over to them, gave them all the food and the water that he had on board, and radioed his father on shore, and waited with those migrants for close to 24 hours while his father arranged for the Coast Guard to rescue these 50 migrants. Now, in Italy, there's a right-wing government right now, and Matteo Salvini is the interior minister, and he has closed the Italian ports to migrants. No more, thank you very much. But Carlo and Gaspari live by the law of the sea. When they hear cries for help, they respond to them. No matter where the people come from, no matter the color of their skin. They say ignoring the need of others, the cry for help, means ignoring God. And they are right. And they know that they can be thrown into jail, or a hefty fine can be levied against them for what they're doing. But they cannot ignore the cries for help, because that would be ignoring what God has called them to do. And this past year, they've come to the aid of 149 migrants, just themselves. And they will keep doing it, they say, 1,000 times over, because that is God's will for them. We are called to set fires. We are not called to be beige. We are not called to nod and smile and turn the other way when somebody says something that is obviously wrong. It is no good for us to be kind and nice unless we are also just. Jesus was not just there to show mercy. Jesus was there, was here in our hearts to show that justice is required, that this is not the way that God wants the world to be, because all are worthy in God's sight. All are treasured, all are valued. And it's up to us to set fires where they need to be set. Fire is not always destructive. When lightning strikes a pine forest, that is the only way that the cones will burst forth and let the seeds go for new fresh trees to grow. Fire can be a good thing. Speaking up can be a good thing. Living as God calls us to be is a good thing. It takes courage. It takes daring. It takes commitment. It takes passion. But we can do it, and I'll tell you why. I go back to my peace pin, and now I look at it in a different way. First of all, it is still a peace pin, but now it speaks to me of an inner peace that I can feel knowing that I have the courage to live as God calls me to live. But it also is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so often, it is a symbol that is accompanied by flame. When in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, it came with tongues of flame, didn't it? Setting fires, giving the disciples courage to go out and live with justice and mercy and passion and commitment. And so let's all know that the Holy Spirit is within us and that Jesus shows us how to walk as God calls us to walk, with mercy and with justice. And may God guide us and bless us in all that we say and do. Amen.